Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for this day, O God. We are grateful to be able to come together and worship you in the simplest way with the songs of praise and worship and prayer and a word from on high. We thank you for all that you are doing for us, O God, for what you are doing in our community. God, we lean on you in these moments. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Drew. Thank you for Jay. Thank you for our worship team. Thank you, God, for being our God. We bless your holy name, for you are worthy of all the praise. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Beautiful people of God, I have three words for you. God is good. Can we say the next three together? All the time and all the time, God is good. A few weeks ago in one of our services, I talked about the challenge of writing down 101 blessings. I've recently added to my list, and if you have not started, maybe now is the time. On this day, we remember after Hurricane Sally that the work has truly begun and God's grace abounds. I've heard many stories and read postings on Facebook of how gates and fences that once separated communities and neighbors have fallen down. And they have seen each other for the very first time. As I waited to fill up my gas tank, I talked to those around me and heard many stories filled with hope. Beautiful people, God's love never fails in any storm, whether personal, natural, or human-made. See, with the urging of the Holy Spirit, our hope in Christ we must carry, and our hope in Christ we must pass along. I wanted to share this passage that has significant meaning in my life. And though there's a lot of history, background, and context, today I wanted to share this text just as it stands in these moments. The heading in your Bible may say joyful proclamations or the year of the Lord's favor. As we look back over the months that have passed, it doesn't seem as if this could be the year of the Lord's favor or maybe even a time of joy of proclamation. But for so many reasons, this is why this passage has so much meaning in my life. And I pray it does for you as well. I could tell a story or two, but I want you to know, even just for a brief moment, to see and to hear how very early Isaiah 61 grounded me in the faith. See, when I first came across this passage, it was from the heart and eyes of someone who was getting to know God, building a relationship with God, loving a God who loves me. Of course, in theology school, I studied Deutero-Isaiah, and I learned and leaned into my heart that always guided me back to that first glimpse into this prophet, to this person whom I didn't know, but in my mind had an epiphany, a light bulb, an aha moment, and wanted to share. My prayer today is that you will also experience that light bulb, that aha moment in the days ahead. Have you ever read or watched or heard something where you thought to yourself, that person is actually speaking to me? There's no way around it, and it stays in your mind. It could be the title of a book, a line, a preaching moment. It could be anything, but those words stay on your heart. This is exactly how I feel whenever I read the first three verses of this text message. Though I know Isaiah is talking, when I read the words out loud, it is as if they are coming from my mouth to God's ear. I am hearing myself. And when you read these words out loud, you will hear this as well. See, there is joy and comfort and strength when God's people, God's church, is grounded in Scripture, grounded in Christ, grounded in purpose, grounded in love, grounded in hope, not fear, nor hate, nor judgment. And we witnessed that as Sally came through our community and everyone came together. As the trees swayed outside of my home, as the wind whistled and at times screamed loudly, as the darkness was evident and the torrential rain fell, the proclaimed word, as we venture through the wilderness etched on my heart, clearly says in first person, today, that we, not just Isaiah, bring good news. We, not just clergy, bind up the brokenhearted. We, all of us, proclaim joy in the Lord in the midst of devastation, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of pain. We proclaim the joy of the Lord. But we also bring oil of gladness to share. We share this with those who are mourning. And we have witnessed a lot of mourning, a lot of frustration, a lot of fear, and for some, a lack of resources. But in all of this, we stand together because God's love never fails. We go together and we are reminded today and we remind one another to bring God's good news in the midst of all of the things. And I want you also to consider in this passage, at the end, it says that we shall repair the ruined cities together. Actually, the text says they. But if I'm reading it in first person, and you're reading it in first person, I am your they, and you are my they. Therefore, we will build the ruined cities together. See, when this passage is read from our eyes in the midst of devastation, whether minor for some or significant for others, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, upon each of us, because the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the poor in spirit, the poor at heart, the poor around us. And in these days to come, I'm asking you to set a time aside at some place during the week, today, but at least for 5 minutes every day, and start writing down or adding to your 101 blessings. Or maybe light a candle each day over the next week, praying for our community, praying for our world, praying for peace, praying for hope, praying for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon this world, praying that the needy are clothed, the hungry are fed, praying about all of these branches and the power that people still do not have, praying about the debris and the trees and that people will come together and continue to clean, to serve, and to unite. So I want to read this passage once more to you. And Drew is going to help me. So in the first verse, verse 1, whenever you look over this passage this week and you see the word me, I want you to put your name there. You can do it with your children. You can do it with your friends. You can do it alone. But as you study and devote your time to looking this passage over, the one that has so much meaning in my life, reminding me who we are, who I am, who you are in Christ. And so as I read this, I will put my name in the me spot, and Drew will put his name in the me spot. So we're going to give you an example of what that looks like. Then we're going to pray and sing together once more. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon
Drew.
Because the Lord has anointed
Drew
to bring good news to the poor. He has sent
Drew
to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Drew, you've got a lot going on.
I do.
And so do I.
Amen.
And so do they. So let's skip down just to verse 4 and I, us, we, they, me, shall build up the ancient ruins, shall rise up the former devastations, shall repair the ruined cities and the devastations of many generations. We are here because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And we are called to bring hope, to bring the good news, and to share in who Christ has proclaimed us to be. It is our duty. It is our call. It is because God's love never fails, that we cannot fail also. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this moment of this reminder that you call each of us in unique ways. And when we look out around us, when we look within our hearts, that you change us. You lead us in places and spaces that we never thought possible. And that you go with us every step of the way. It is because your love never fails that we cannot fail. And that we go with you wherever you call us. But in these moments right now, oh God, your amazing grace abounds. And we are grateful for you. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said.